is based upon the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. We have been dwelling upon this chapter last week, speaking to you how that Lot invited the angels into his home, and how that they accepted his offer, and how that the inhabitants of this city gathered around this home in which these angels had entered, and they sorely pressed upon the man Lot, where he offered them his daughters in the place of these men. They refused his offer, and they were going to take Lot and abuse him. And as they were attempting to do this, we find that the angels opened the door, and they took Lot inside of the home. And they smote these people outside of the door with blindness, that they wearied themselves to find the door. Fortunately for Lot, these angels, they saved Lot's life in this respect. For had not they done this, why, they surely would have taken Lot and abused him. And then they did a miracle. They smote the eyes of these people with blindness. They couldn't find the door. They tried to, but they couldn't. And they wearied themselves in doing this. And now we find that Lot was commanded by these angels to go to his relatives. Have you any sons-in-laws? Have you sons? Have you daughters? Or whatsoever you have in this city, go tell them. Tell them to rise up and to flee out of this city, for the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And now Lot, he, during the night, went to his sons-in-laws and to his daughters who were married to these men, and he came with this message of these angels to them. This was the mercy of God towards Lot's relatives. It's good to be a relative of a godly person. For because of Lot, these people that were married to Lot's daughters were even given a warning and were pleaded by Lot himself to get up out of the city, because it was going to be destroyed. Oh, my hearers, we could just picture in our mind how that Lot went to these sons-in-laws of his and his daughters. He had been miraculously spared by these angels himself. He had been saved. And now he was much concerned about his relatives, about his daughters. And when he came to their home, he was all excited. Up, he says, get out of this place, for the Lord is going to destroy it. Now, the language which he used was something that should have fell into the minds and into the hearts of these sons-in-laws and daughters. For it was as if he said, quick, rise up. There's no time to lose, because the city is going to be destroyed. They didn't have 40 days like the Ninevites. It was now or never, that very night. And of course, they had probably heard what had taken place at Lot's home, how that it had been surrounded by these men, and how they had attempted to do something unto the men and to this Lot, and they thought that Lot maybe was touched in the head, that he didn't know what he was talking about. But Lot knew, Lot believed what was going to take place, and therefore he came there and warned them. But the scripture says he was unto them as one that lied, that told a fable. They mocked with him. They laughed at him. They made a mockery of what he said. Oh, my hearers, in this we have this lesson that we see so often. When God's servants, who are sent to preach his word and who stand before a multitude of people, in truth, entreating them that they would, for their life's sake, turn themselves unto God and seek Him while it is yet today, they are mocked. They are laughed at. Have any of you done that? You mocked with what God brings unto you? Oh, how terrible it is. So that inside you don't believe what you hear. So that you don't make work of what you are told to do. So many, they make a mockery of the warnings and the admonitions that God-fearing parents, that godly ministers send unto them. This is a great sin. Such who continue to do this will die with their blood on their own head. You may be sure that these sons-in-laws and daughters of Lot, they were consumed in the city. They perished. Why? Because they didn't obey the voice of Lot, who came to them with a mission of mercy from God. Oh, how many, I am afraid, that are listening to me and who have heard many a warning, many an admonition has been brought unto you in love, and you have not given heed. You probably have mocked at it and put it off to another day. Oh, you know not what a day may bring, my hearers. It was only a nighttime here. This cry came at midnight to these people, and they mocked at it. Oh, my hearers, Lot, he had done what the angels had commanded him to do. You may be sure when he returned home how sad he must have felt. And when he came home, it appears that they went to lay down yet. And very early in the morning, the angels, they awakened Lot. They made him arise, and they said unto him, "Hasten for thy life's sake. Turn not back," they said unto him. "Flee unto the mountain, for we are to destroy this place." But it does not seem as if Lot took good heed to what these angels said. For while he lingered, it says, the angels, they laid hand upon Lot and upon his wife and upon his two daughters. They hastened them. They forced them out of their own house. And they brought them out of the city. We see in this again, my hearers, the mercy of God. I wonder what you and I would have done if we were in the place of Lot. They had to leave everything. And you know, Lot was a wealthy man. He had much cattle, he had much gold and silver. He probably had a nice home and everything in it in those times. And now he had to leave it. He was forced by these angels. This was a gracious violence on the part of them that they forced him out of his own home. Because the Bible says he lingered. He didn't want to go. He was so attached to the place, so attached to what he had there, that he was reluctant to go. But God, being merciful unto him, made these angels take him by the hand and lead him out. If Lot had disobeyed and God had not done this, it would have been fatal to Lot. But Lot was a child of God. Irrespective of all his inconsistencies, God loved him. And you see the wonderful care God took of this man, where he lingered and didn't want to go, the Lord took him by the hand and led him out by the hand of these angels. We see in this, my hearers, that the salvation of God's people is of the Lord. And that it's only grace and the mercy of God that leads any person out of the Sodom of this world. Was it not grace? May not I appeal to some of you who have experienced this, that it was the goodness, the kindness, the grace, the love, the mercy of God that drew you out of the world, or you would still be in it. And being still in it and still serving it, you most certainly would perish in it. Oh, it's grace and grace only that a person is drawn and placed on the narrow way which leadeth to that heavenly city above. All these angels, they took these people by the hand. And all may I be in my little way like one of these angels to you, my Bible class. You are loved of me. We don't know when God is going to come. Death is coming, as sure as I'm standing here. The day of judgment is coming, and Christ is coming in the clouds to judge each and every one of us. And all I would entreat you in the name of God, that you would seek this God who is so gracious, who is so merciful, and who is ready to save to the uttermost all those that come unto him. Oh, today, while ye hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Incline your ear and give ear to what you are listening to. Seek ye the Lord while he is yet to be found. Call upon him while he is yet near. Oh, may your soul begin to live, and may you hear his precious voice coming unto you, that he has no delight in the death of the wicked, but therein that they turn and live. Oh, may you be given this very day to turn unto him who never turned any away that came unto him. Oh, tomorrow it may be forever too late. Do I sound like Lot to you? Are you mocking with what I'm speaking to you about? I'm in earnest, my dear hearers. I'm speaking to you for the benefit of your immortal soul. Lot's sons-in-laws and his daughters, they perished because they would not give heed to the word that Lot brought unto them. Oh, may you be given an ear to hear and a heart to receive and faith to believe that your immortal soul is at stake. Oh, may you be given the haste for your life's sake. Lot, he lingers. So it is with so many, and it may be with you the case too. He lingers, and so you may be under the impressions of what you're listening to. You may have some convictions that there's a necessity of a divine change to be made in you. But all you put it off. To when? You know not when. You put it off continually when the message comes to you. Instead of making haste for your life's sake. Oh, may this expostulation, this exhortation brought to you in its feeble way, be used by God himself to bring you to his very feet, so that you may find that what I am speaking of him is very true. For Lot, he lingered. Linger not, my hearers. Oh, make all speed to be saved for a great and ever-ending eternity. This man Lot, he was set outside of the city with his wife and with his two daughters. And then they said unto him, hasten for your life's sake. Do not look back. Stay not in the plain, but flee to the mountain. Oh, he had them directions where to go. He was told by the mouth of an angel that he should not look back, and that he should haste and stay not in the plain, and that this place, this mountain, was his place of refuge. So the Lord comes to his dear people with this likewise. You may have been set outside of the world. You may have been brought on the narrow way, but you are still in danger. Hasten for your life's sake. You are not to stay in the plain, in the world, in your sins. You are not to look back. For looking back is as just as if you would want to go back and stay in your sins, in the world. Looking back to Sodom is looking back as if you rather return. Oh, my hearers, it's a fearful thing to turn back after making a profession of Christianity and then to return to that which you have been graciously brought out of. So Lot was instructed not to remain, but to flee, to go to the mountain. And now we find this man Lot praying to the angels. He had been commanded to flee, to go to the mountain. But he says, oh no, sirs. No. He says, you have magnified your grace and your mercy towards me in saving my life. But let me flee to this little city that is nearby, for I am afraid to flee to the mountain, lest I might be killed. Is not this a little one? Let me enter therein. And they gave him his request. They said that they would not deny him this. They consented that he should enter into this little city. And the name of the city was changed, it says, to Zoar. Before this, it was called Bela. It was a city of refuge. In this, my hearers, we find Lot's weakness and his lack of faith. We find in the first statement his gratitude. You have magnified your grace and your mercy towards me in saving my life. And this was true. But now he had been directed to this mountain. This was the place that God appointed for him to go to. But he chooses other place, as if the city would be safer than the mountain, and as if God could not take care of him in the mountain. Had he not taken care of him now? Was he not delivered? Was he not brought out of that city in a wonderful way? Would not that, to your estimation and mine, to give him a certain amount of faith to believe if God had such a favor towards him that he wouldn't have to worry about his life? And still, when he's requested to go to this mountain, he prayed that he wanted to go into this city. He wanted to go into that city because it was nearby and because it was a little one. He didn't pray that this city would not be destroyed because of the inhabitants in it or because there was some righteous in it. No. It was only for himself that he prayed. It was his own interest that he had in mind. And he prayed that he may go into this city. how wrong I would say of Lot, because later on you read that he went out of that city. He didn't stay there. He was afraid in that city, and he went up to the mountain which God had appointed unto him. But they consented unto him. They said, make haste and enter into the city, because we can do nothing till thou hast entered therein. Again, we notice the divine protection and care of God's dear children. Oh, you have this God on your side, my hearers. What a God you have. He took care of Lot. Even though Lot did not consent to what God had appointed him to do, the Lord gave him what he asked for. He gave him permission to enter into that city. And he would do nothing till he had entered into it. The ruin, the destruction of Sodom was even held up till Lot was saved. He had to go into the city first. And we read, and the sun arose as Lot entered into the city of Zoar. The sun arose. It seemed it was going to be a beautiful day. To all appearances, it was going to be a fair day. But there was a storm coming, an unnatural storm, a storm that never had taken place in the world and never took place since. And when they had entered into Zoar, then God rained brimstone and fire from heaven upon these cities of the plain. And he overthrew these cities of the plain, and all the inhabitants that were in them, and everything that was on the ground, it was consumed by brimstone and fire. You know, if God sends a lightning bolt and directs it to a certain place, what a terrible destruction it brings. But here God sent lightning, something awful. God rained hell out of heaven down on these people, on Sodom and Gomorrah. A strange expression, isn't it? But it's true. Fire came down upon them, consumed them, and burned them, and made this place where they dwelt a sea. This place upon which Sodom and Gomorrah was built was a land that was full of cracks in the ground. It was a very fertile country. And under the ground, there were certain substances called bitumen, which, when God rained fire down, it ignited the ground, and the place, the ground and everything was burned up, and so the people too. They were immediately put on fire, and they were destroyed from heaven by God himself because of their terrible sin that they were committing in that city. This place is a standing monument to this day of the wrath and of the anger of God. It is called the Dead Sea. It was turned then into a sea, which at the present time is somewhere between 60 and 70 miles long, 180 miles in circumference, and at certain places from 10 to 15 miles wide. We would call it a lake, but they call it the Dead Sea. So this sea is so full of salt that those that have attempted even to bathe in it have found it that they hardly could swim in it. So much salt is found in the water, somewhere over 50%. Nothing grows. It's dead. It's in between the mountains. No wind ever strikes it, that it gets waves and let the things come up on the shore. this season is a reminder of how God visited Sodom and Gomorrah and overthrew these cities of the plague. God had spoken by the angel unto Lot and to his daughters and to his wife that they should hasten, that they should not look back, and that they should not remain in the plain. But we find that the scripture says, and Lot's wife looked back, and immediately she was made a pillar of salt. She did a sin which to me and you was a small sin, we would say. She just looked back. In all probabilities, if you or I were in her steps and in her place, we might have looked back too. But what did she do? She disobeyed an express command. They were not to look back. Her sin was of the similitude of Adam and his sin, which caused you and I to be ruined. So when she sinned, it was a great sin. And God immediately struck this woman, and she was made a pillar of salt. Her body became petrified. She didn't die like anybody else. She didn't fall to the ground. She was a monument standing up. To this day, they say, it's still there. An everlasting monument of God against this woman for disobeying the command that he had given unto them. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 10, speaking of this, turning back, going back from our profession, warns that you be not like Lot's wife in this sin that she committed. It was that she was ready to turn back, because Jesus says, turn not back. So it appears that if she was going to turn back, she thought she would be safe in Sodom. She hunkered after her home, after her goods, after what she had in Sodom. She was attached to the things that were in Sodom. And immediately she was struck by God himself. How awful, my hearers. We don't know where Lot obtained this wife. When he was with Abraham, he had no wife. He was not married. And it's possible that she was an inhabitant of Sodom, for it was about 20 years that Lot had been dwelling in Sodom. So it's possible that he married this woman, and this is where she came from. She then perished in the overthrow. Lot looked forward. See in him the goodness of God, but she looked back. See in that the severity of God. That God would not be mocked. She had been wonderfully and mercifully led out of the city. She had been taken by the hand. She was married to a righteous man. She was much closer than any of the inhabitants of Sodom to Lot. And still God did not connive at her sin, but he immediately punished her. Oh, how awful it must have been for Lot to see his wife immediately turned into a pillar of salt. This man Lot, he went to dwell in Zoar. And after he had dwelt in Zoar some time, he was afraid to remain there. So he went up into a mountain, and he dwelt in a mountain, in a cave, with his two daughters. See in this story about his two daughters how quickly the mercy, the goodness, the kindness of God was forgotten by them. Over and again, such a deliverance, we find them speaking together that there they were in this mountain, in this cave, and there was no man on the earth to come in unto them. So they, in sin and iniquity, talked with each other about making their father drunk and lying with their father. You would say, how is it possible that these two daughters would even think of doing something like this? But it is written that this is what they did. And they both received children from their father. And these children became two races of people, the Moabites and the Ammonites. They came forth from the two daughters of Lot, and they likewise had received this seed from their father. What a terrible thing after being so mercifully spared to sin in this manner against God. Oh, how strong are fleshly lusts. Oh, how terrible, my hearers, that man and woman sometimes give themselves over to them. It is not safe to live with any relative, be they a woman or be they a man alone, for one never knows what might happen while they are living together in this way without being united in marriage. The Lord, he could have prevented this, it is true, but it was for his all-wise purposes that these things took place. We now come to the chapter out of which the lesson was taken this day. And we find that God visited Abraham as he had promised him to do. For we find Sarah conceived and gave birth unto a son. And they called his name Isaac. And she laughed as she had laughed before in unbelief, she laughed now in faith. For God had remembered Abraham and Sarah, for they had no child of their own. And now they were given to rejoice in the fulfilling of the promise that God had given unto them. For they received then this son. He was born when Abraham was 100 years of age, and Sarah was 90. And she said, who would have thought that I would bear Abraham a son, and that I would give suck unto him? An old woman, 90 years of age, giving suck to a baby. Surely, this was a miracle of God. It was God that had opened her womb, who had brought forth this son, and who blessed them in this respect. He had to be born. Christ was to come forth out of the loins of Abraham, and God had promised that he would give him a son, and that his seed would be more than the stars in heaven. How then both must have rejoiced in having this child given unto them. How they must have thought of the promises that God had given, and how faithful God was in keeping his promise. Oh, my hearers, has God ever given you a promise? He remembers his word unto 1,000 generations, we read. or if he has spoken to you, he most certainly will fulfill his precious word. He's faithful to his word. He never lies. So they found it to be true. So in all probabilities, you may be like Abraham and like Sarah. Sarah laughed at one time and could not believe that it would take place. Maybe you've said inside many times, I can't believe either. I don't think it'll ever happen. Unbelief rests in the bosom of every believer. But the God who has promised is faithful to his word. Has he promised to give unto you his dear son Jesus? Oh, there will be a day coming when Jesus will be revealed in your soul. As sure as God has spoken. Oh, what a mercy to have this Son of God born within us. To know that he is the Son of promise. To know that he came into this world for us. And that he lives in us, Christ, born in our hearts. If he has been born there, my hearers, you will live eternally with God. Oh, may God grant every one of you, my hearers, a promise whereupon you may hope, whereupon you may build, whereupon you may plead and pray before him, reminding him of his own words. And he will most certainly fulfill it in his own way, in his own time, even though it took 25 years for Abraham and Sarah to have a son. They received it when it was beyond all human help and possibility. And so it goes with God's promises. He is faithful and most certainly will grant what he has promised. That's all for today.